There's so much to learn in so little time. This year we don't even have days of yeshiva between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. We have a lot to prepare for. I think I mentioned to you the other week of Hutner's Vart, of Tanji Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. Nishnach Yantiv Avekner, Nach Yantiv Arayin. The attitude Yantiv is over, can't be another Yantiv gone by, it needs to be another Yantiv gone in. And the way that you hold on to some, the way that Yantiv makes a permanent impact, even after it's passed on the calendar, is critically dependent on Hachana. Practical Hachana, but also Hachana intellectually, Hachana emotionally. So let's spend a couple minutes together, beginning to talk about Yom Kippur. Hopefully the next couple days, I have a chance to highlight some of the many, many issues in Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Taf Resh Beis is the first siman in Or HaChaim, Hilchas Yom Kippur, Hilchas Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So they tell you, Mechaber writes that we increase the degree of davening during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Someone just told me yesterday that Ben Yonah has a line in Shaarei Teshuva. I did not see this inside, but actually, a friend with whom I had a Shaarei Teshuva chavrusa many years ago, we didn't get this far, but apparently he's gotten this far since. He says Shaarei Teshuva writes over the course of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, a Jew should be a little bit like Chol Moed, that you reduce, should mix Chol Moed. You should reduce the number of hours you work per day so that you have more time to be mefash beish and to do tshuva. You should be zeichet, number one, to be able to be careful about not doing malach, not violating the isra of malachas Chol Moed. And we should also do what we can to carve out time to be maharer b'tshuva over these days. And certainly, if you're not yet bound to a work schedule, so all the more so, that you should take the opportunity to daven more, as we do in terms of increasing the slichas and increasing the number of times we say Hashem Hashem Kerach V'chanam, increasing the tshuva. In terms of the davening, we also add Avinu Malkeinu. Rambam makes the point, Avinu Malkeinu is an interesting type of tefillah. It's a very, very powerful, poignant set of bakashas. It seems from the Tanam that it goes back, at least the core of Avinu Malkeinu seems to go back to the Tanam Rebbe Kiva. A whole series of very, very, if you think about those bakashas, I think it's over the course of Rosh Hashanah, like, so many of the issues on the table, so many of the issues in the news are in Avinu Malkeinu. We talk about personal safety from anti-Semitism, we talk about not only physical safety vis-a-vis anti-Semitism, we also talk about what people are saying about us in anti-Semitic ways. We ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Sison Pios Ma'asinenu Mekatrugenu, and there's so much there about health, and about parnasa, and about stability, and about shalom. I say l'man harugim Hashem kachecha, tevuchim al-yichudecha. We can put names and faces to that idea of Jews who were killed because they were Jews. It's not only something that happened 70 years ago or 700 years ago, it certainly did happen 70 years ago and 700 years ago and 1700 years ago. It also happened over the last couple of months. These are Avinu Malkeinu is such a powerful. So just take the time to consider the opening phrase. We say it so often that we could easily not stop to think about the radical chiddush that is Avinu Malkeinu. To have that sort of dual relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He runs the entire universe and that He cares about us intimately. Transcendence and immanence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech HaAretz Kodo. He's Melech HaKal HaAretz. He's also Avinu. He cares about Bonam HaTem HaShem Elokeichem. That's a radical Chiddush. The truth is, every time we say a bracha, if we were to only stop and think occasionally when we say a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. We're talking directly to Ribbono Shel Olam, who is our God, and then refer to Him as Melech HaOlam. Again, Melech. Avinu Malkeinu, Elokeinu, Melech HaOlam. That blend, what philosophers would call immanence and transcendence, that Kadosh Baruch Hu's nearness, so to speak, to us, a personal, we can feel He's directly involved with us, and at the same time, He's running the entire universe. Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu maybe also captures the different ways in which we perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or I should say, the different ways in which we sometimes, how we feel vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a famous pasuk in Shir Shirim that we've discussed in the past. The girl in Shir Shirim, the Raya, representing either Klal Yisrael or an individual Jew, talks to him, look there, there's someone who's Mashkiach Menachalonos Meitzitz Menacharakim. He's looking out the windows, and he's peeking from between the cracks. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always involved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on with us, and cares, and is involved. But one could be watching. I could be watched by someone who's obviously watching. I could be watched by someone who's in obviously watching. It could be Mashgiach Menachalonos, looking out the windows. He's looking at me out the windows. He sees me, and I see him. I see him seeing me. Or he's Meitzis Menacharakim. He's peeking through the cracks. He's looking through the keyhole. See, he sees me, but I can't see that he's seeing me. Either way, he knows and he cares, he's involved. But whether or not I can perceive it, that varies from time to time. From time to time in terms of the eras of Jewish history, and from day to day and year to year in terms of my own life. That's also an aspect of Avinu Malkeinu. Sometimes we feel the Avos, and sometimes we don't. It's a very, very, very powerful tefillah. Worth taking the time to just think about what one is saying. And that definitely is a part, as Rama points out, part of when the Mechaber says, we're marbe b'tfilu v'sachanunim between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and as we've discussed over the last week or two, that's rooted in a Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Gemara Yivamas, commenting on Pasuk Yeshayahu, that we just read yesterday, Yeshua Hashem b'himatzel k'ru b'zel k'rov. There's a time when HaKadosh Baruch is particularly findable, when he's closer, so to speak. And when is that time, the Gemara says? These 10 days. So that's why we take the opportunity to daven more. Kadosh Baruch was more available. Let's have more conversations. Mashal ma davar doma. Mashal ma davar doma. Let's see, you have a guy from New York who's dating a girl from Toronto. So, and he has a job in New York, and she has a job in Toronto. So they can't just get together. They can't get together for supper on a Wednesday night. That's not possible. The plane ride is only an hour and a half, but still. So what's going to happen? Over the course of the week, you're on the phone, and it comes the weekend or Sunday, so you hop around time. So it could be that over the weekend, you'll have a much longer date than you normally would have, because over the course of the week, you're not seeing each other at all. A phone call here and there, a text, FaceTime, but when biyoso karov, you want to chop right more opportunity. So that's a seris mei tshuva. Seris mei tshuva is when we're, so to speak, closer. Kodesh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, closer. So you want to grab more opportunities to talk to him, more opportunities to pour out our hearts, more opportunities to add, to make bakashas. Not only is he karov, plus, of course, this is a time of din. Kodesh Baruch Hu is more accessible, and these conversations are more critical. Because now is when, if we are Beinonim, so now is when the din is being processed. That's why we say Avinu Malkeinu. That's why we say extra slichas. That's why we say Avinu Malkeinu. And the Rambam makes a point. Avinu Malkeinu is an interesting type of bakasha. We suspend it only for Shabbos. We say Rosh Hashanah. We say Yom Kippur, but not for the Shabbos. By Ni'ilu, we say Avinu Malkeinu even on Shabbos. That's Mamash Es Sarah. But just because you don't say Tachanon is not cause to not say Avinu Malkeinu. The Rambam points out that way as well. If there's a bris, so of course it says Mechuvah, so you wouldn't say Tachanon, but you would still say Avinu Malkeinu. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes on Tavreish Gimel. So what other issues in Aseres Mechuvah? Aseres Mechuvah is a time when Kadosh Baruch Hu is more available, more accessible. That's why in Tavreish Bey they talk about davening more. In Tavreish Gimel they talk about the fact that it's a Aseres Mechuvah. It's also a time when we need to work harder to return. So the Rama, the Mechaber in Tavreish Gimel talks about the notion of if there's a kula that we typically rely on over the course of the year, but it's somewhat questionable, is a strong way to put it, but it's a kula with kashas, cool that we're comfortable relying on. But of course, the Saras made tshuva, maybe we would take a step back from that kula. So the Mechaber's example is pas palter. Just to explain a little bit, for the Sfardim in the room, this is irrelevant because Sfardim and Nizr from pas palter all year long. Ashkenazim is a machlok. It's old. Machlok goes back well over 1,000 years. And just to give a little bit of the background, pas akum is an issur drabanan that everyone agrees to. Ashkenazim and Sfardim, everyone. That's a mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah near the end of the second parak. I think it's Daf Lamed Hey. The mishnah has a list of items that you might get from a nachri, which are mutar bahana. There's no Avodah Zarah angle, but they're asur ba'achila. For some reason or another, one's forbidden to eat them. The treif, but they're not asur bahana. For a host of different sorts of things, for different sorts of reasons. One of them, several of them, are foods manufactured by Nachri, which Chazal forbade in order to create a little bit of an obstacle, a speed bump, to protect against over-socializing with one's non-Jewish neighbors. It's important to be friendly, it's important to be civil, it's important to be polite and courteous, absolutely. Rabbi Yochanan the Gemara tells us, was proactively makdim shalom, filos nachri shabashuk. It's important to be a good citizen. At the same time, one's friends, the people who are the people whom I share values. And that distinction is critical to maintain. And the Gemara says, left unchecked, it could lead to, Rachman Atzlan, interdating an intermarriage. So Mishum Chasnas, to avoid intermarriage and to avoid all sorts of excesses that unchecked socializing between Jews and non-Jews could lead to. So Chazal set up a series of siyagim, several of which are different foods you can't eat. You cannot drink yein akum, you cannot eat bishul akum, and you cannot even eat pas akum. The Tosfos Rush writes, those foods are not all created the same. They don't all have the same social value. Drinking wine together is clearly more dangerous. You're on a much more slippery slope drinking wine together than just eating bread together. So Tosfos Rush points out, there's a scale, a spectrum of those various categories of food and drink that Chazal forbade. The more socially potent it is, the fewer kulos you will find. The less socially potent it is, the less of a risk it creates, the more kulos, the more exceptions Chazal built in to the Issur Drabanan. So there are more kulos in pas than in some of the others. And the question is, do we or do we not accept the following kula that some of the Gaonim talk about? Bishul akum, there are rules and regulations for which foods can one eat if it was produced by a non-Jew, which not. But everyone agrees, the halacha, that it doesn't matter whether it was privately produced or commercially produced. In other words, it doesn't matter whether it was my next-door neighbor cooked something in his kitchen and brought it over. Even if no kashrus concern, there may still be a bishul akum concern. That's a problem. Or if he's the chef in the restaurant. He runs a takeout place. He's cooking for tens of people, for hundreds of people. It's not as personal, but still that's forbidden. The question is, how about by bread? If the non-Jewish neighbor bakes bread, homemade bread for me, that sounds like a severe pas palter problem, pas akum problem, unless you work with the rules of pas akum. How about, though, if it's not the next-door neighbor did a homemade loaf for me? There's a non-Jewish baker in town who runs a bakery who has hundreds of customers. I'm one of hundreds of customers. There's not nearly as much kiruv hadas. It's not such a gesture of friendship. Fellow brings over, you know, home-baked cookies, home-baked cake, home-baked bread. That's real kiruv hadas. But he bakes for 100. If he's a baker, he's a nachtom, or as we call it, a palter, pei lametes resh, he bakes for hundreds of people. That's a machlokas ha-gaonim, a machlokas ha-rishonu ha-paskin, is pas palter, baker's bread, and it's commercially produced bread. Is that still included in the Isser of Pasach? And we say, nah, there's already much more distance there. There's not so much concern that eating the non-Jewish baker's bread is going to lead me somehow to over-socializing. So that's a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Yud Beis in Yerideya, the Simen about Pas Akum. whether the Isser applies even to the Isser of Pasach appears in the Mishnah, but does it apply to Palter as well or only to home-baked bread? The Svar, Shulchan Aruch says, Shmechaber says, you should avoid it. Ramah says, no, there's room to be makel. So that's what Mechaber says. Even those who all year long would eat Pas Palter, but it's a good idea to avoid it over the course of Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Now, you may or may not be in a position to take on this Chumrah at this point in your life, because the question is, well, who's shopping for groceries? I can't say who's cooking the food at home, because if anyone's cooking the food at home, hopefully that's not a Pas Palter problem. That's probably Bishul Yisrael and Pas Yisrael, one hopes. If you have non-Jewish help in the house, so that's something that has to be negotiated all year long to make sure you avoid any problems of Bishul Nachri and Pas Nachri. It's a good conversation for some other time. Maybe some point in the year we can dig more deeply into the halachas of Mahalei Akum. but certainly, if you're buying snacks for yourself, certainly if you're buying snacks for yourself, you're going to want to steer clear of the course from now until up until and including Erev Yom Kippur, to steer clear of Pas Palter. What's included, what's not included? So the first question is, what's Pas? Not everything that is a mezonos is Pas. Pas is only things made of chamesh as mini dagan. That's one of the conditions, one of the criteria to eat Pas, but that's not the only criteria. So if it's not chamesh as mini dagan, it's for sure okay. If it is chamesh as mini dagan, so then it may or may not be a pas. If it's hamotzi, obviously it's bread. Some mezonos foods are bread as well, and some is not. That's really a concept min ha-Torah. There is a notion of lechem. There's a halacha concept of lechem, a level of daraisa. It's relevant several areas of halacha, including matzah, which is lechem oni, and hafarshas challah, and birkas hamazon. So for all those items, the Gemara's and Brachas and Psachim, some Mishnais and Masachas Challah, talk about what's the definition of lechem. It has to be, number one, it needs to be made from the five grains. Number two, it has to have a toar lechem. It has to be bread. It has to have the form of bread. So if you have, and it's relevant in Hilchos Brachas as well. Those things which are bread either are always hamotzi or are sometimes hamotzi. Those things which are not bread are never hamotzi. You've heard of Pas Baba Kisnin, where you have, if you eat enough chocolate chip cookies, you ate two boxes of Entenmann's, so you will A, have a stomach ache in the morning, and before then you should make sure to bench. Because if that you've heard, if you eat enough, you kovei a suda, that's only if it's bread min ha-Torah. Because there is a notion of lechem min ha-Torah. Chazal, when they made the Din Drabanan of Brachas Rishonos, they subdivided lechem into two halves. There was meal bread and snack bread. Meal bread is Pas Gamor, and a bread, which is Min HaTorah, bread you have to eat Ma'afer Shchal, and so on and so forth, but it's the sort of bread whose format indicates that it's meant as a snack, so that's the simplest way of defining Pas Baba Kisnin. So there, you normally make mezonos and ahamichya, unless you have a full meal's worth. If you have a lot, so then already, since it is Pas Min HaTorah, you have to wash and say amotzi and bench. So things like cake and cookies, cake perhaps, and cookies definitely, and crackers, those sorts of things are Pas Baba Kisnin. Number one, if you ate enough of them, you should wash and bench. Enough is like the amount you would eat for supper. You have like not like a full breakfast, like a full supper. So if you have them, you know, as much as you eat, like the simplest way of explaining of Kedes Kavir Suda is the amount of food you would eat to really fill yourself up. Like you have a good supper, that amount of food. If you have that amount of cookies, if you have that amount of cookies, again, it's unwise on several levels from a practical perspective, but if you're really excited to have another opportunity to bench, you now, Baruch Hashem, another opportunity to Mekayim Mitzvah Rabbanim Til Sadayim, you get to say the Mitzvah Rabbanim Hamotzi instead of Mitzvah Rabbanim of Mizonos, and you have the opportunity to Mekayim the Mitzvah Daraisa of Birkas HaMazon. Again, you may be sorry in the morning, but at least, Baruch Hashem, yeah, you can enjoy the opportunity to do mitzvahs right now. So those sorts of foods have a Torah lechem. But if you have, it needs to be some sort of, it has to be bait. Probably has to be bait, most likely, machlokes of Rishonim. And they certainly have to have some sort of loaf. So hot cereal, or for that matter, hot cereal, you could have bowls and bowls and bowls of oatmeal. You will never have to bench on that. Because there's no Torah. It's made from Chamesh and Medagim, but it's still not lechem, because there's no Torah lechem. It doesn't have a loaf. And you're not mafia. If you make a cauldron of hot cereal for 400 people in camp, you're not mafia shalah. You know, there's way more than enough than a shear of oatmeal there. Yeah, but it's not lechem. It's Chamesh and Medagim, it's not lechem. There's no farsha shalah. There's no hamotzi. No matter how much you eat, there's no... benchy, no matter how much you eat, no deals a dime, and there's no concern of pas palter. The same is probably true for what's it called as well, for pancakes as well. It's a Gemara, and Gemara talks about trisa. If it's so thin that mama spreads across the pan, so that's no Torah lechem. Rav Shechter also told me that he thinks that breakfast cereal is also not pas, so there's no loaf, like Cheerios. Little thing, there has to be some extent, at least two dimensions. Either it's like a loaf, like a three-dimensional loaf, or like a pizza, it's flat, like a cracker. Pizza is definitely, pas. Pizza is probably not even pas baba kisnim. Pizza probably wash and bench even a small amount, but that's a discussion for a different night. It's a pasha shulchan aruch. Pasha shulchan aruch is that you make hamotzi even on one bite of pizza. You don't bench unless you have a kazais. You don't wash unless you have a kibetza, as with any lechem. That's the pashtus. So anyhow, so if you are buying cake and cookies and crackers, so you should be careful to make sure that it's pas Yisrael, or to find a different snack over the course of a Aseres Mitzvah. If you're a Sephardi, you should be careful all year long to be careful with that. But even more important, that's a detail. I'm glad to take more questions afterwards, but that's a detail in a much larger issue, which we will pick up with tomorrow, which is the issue that the Ramah raises in Tafresh Gimel, which is doing tshuva. The being careful, being more sensitive to pas palter is an adjunct to doing tshuva on averus. But that's the goal and the focus of Aseres Mitzvah is doing tshuva on averus. So it's a very fascinating Mishnah Berurah. And actually, if I say Ramah, it gives you the official Musar Shmuz. What is the official Musar Shmuz? The official Dvar Musar you should learn over the course of Esmei Tshuva. He talks about that here. That comes up in Tafresh Beis, and it connects to Tafresh Vav. We will, Mircham, pick up with that, B'li Neder, tomorrow.